18? Yeah, page 18, how's the topic? First 22. It's a very strange topic.
Not every day seems to be a strange topic.
Yeah, the next two are particularly strange. The next three. When I mention the Philippines, the guy says, "Hey, no, don't really have to have cut me menu. A guy, man has become like one of us, without sober off. It's no good and bad. If I took any shots to go, and now lest he cast his hand, the cock Tommy ate the chayim, and the world was taken from the tree of life. There was another tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden, the cow of the love, and he will eat and live forever." Now, the question is why God bothered him. Why is God so upset if man lives forever? So what? Moreover, what does it mean that God, man has become like one of us? God does no evil, right? What does it mean God, what does it mean that God knows evil? What, or bad? What does it mean?
Crazy.
You mean?
Well, God created everything, including all possible ideas, and he created the idea of evil as well. So he has
that concept. So that you're assuming that all of them did not know there's a concept of evil beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The things on there that understanding is that he wasn't drawn to evil before, but he knew there was a concept. So if you look over here in the article, he says, God reads as in the commentary, God reads as the sin and its result, that now has made it impossible for God to let him stay in the garden. Reading from the tree of knowledge, man has become ka'achami menu, like the unique one among us. Meaning that he has become unique among the terrestrial ones, just as God is unique among the celestial ones. But now God, man can discriminate between good and bad, a quality not possessed by cattle and beasts. Because man has this unique ability to know good and evil, as desire for sensual gratification had become intense, there was a new danger. If man accepts his capacity to live forever, then he might well spend all his days pursuing gratification and cultivate intellectual growth and good deeds. And he fails to attain the spiritual bliss that God intended for it. And so, man had to be banished from Eden so that he would not be able to eat from the tree of life and live forever. And a couple of questions about this. First of all, God's an arranger. God made the tree, right? So let God just destroy the tree of life. Why does he have to kick Adam out? Kill him, keep the tree of life. Chop it down. You don't sound a master?
Yeah, I do, Jack. Yeah. Or just make it not do what it was supposed to do.
Instead of make it up, take away the properties. Make a big fence around it.
Why you got to go, why that has to remove what I was doing then? And after that, because in that way, we'll be going again to the principle of creation, which we got to intervene for when the matter has to do with the human being.
But he intervened anyway, he could not have got
okay,
but he cannot say, one half is out of this step.
He did it so.
So he would fail.
Excuse me?
Has to be set up to fail.
Okay.
Well, I would have to be set up to fail, so therefore, I mean, why would God intervene
in
doing that?
Okay, but he did, right?
Presumably.
He kicked him out. Yeah. Why did he kick him out?
He kicked him out because that shows that he wants men to want to come back. You know, if you kick out someone from somewhere, I mean, he wants...
The series doesn't sound like the next couple of something.
Well, because if you kick him, you need to kick him out of the garden anyway, because you want him to toil the fields and not just get everything for free. So if you need to kick him out of the garden, why would he want to return to the garden if the tree of life isn't there? He has to know the tree of life is in the garden if he wants to go back to it. Otherwise, if he figures out how to make good farm machines, he might not want to come back and doesn't mind toiling the fields.
I think. Was it too?
I don't know. The same thing you called him. When is he supposed to come back to the garden of Eden?
Was it another task?
What?
Because presumably if he'd kicked him out of the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Eden still existed, so it might have been another test to see whether or not he gave him another chance to prove himself, to prove that he wasn't going to go back to the Garden of Eden and try and get to the tree. Because if the Garden of Eden still existed, it didn't make the Garden of Eden disappear. He knew it. I presume Adam knew where the Garden of Eden was. So maybe...
He wasn't allowed in! Look, what's the next little circuit? Maybe we have to read next little circuit music.
It's protected by a sword.
Right, so I'll say what I showed him the Garden of Eden. So God kicked him out of the Garden of Eden. Right, what is that? Thomas, who worked the land, I shall look up and shrimp from whence he was taken. Vayigoresh is Adam. Vayigoresh, you know what Vayigoresh means? He threw him out, right? And drove him away. Vayashkein became Gan Eden, and he stationed at the way, the east of Gan Eden, at that Rubin.
Rubin, says in English.
And the flame of the ever-turning sword. The small is barricade behind to guard the way to the tree of life. He went all them to fight way back to Gan Eden, which is like the Lord of the Rings, he has to fight back in the way into Gan Eden. Doesn't sound that way. I don't think that that's the case.
The fact that he has to put up a flaming, turning sword that's going to flame and turn forever would seem to imply that Adam would want to go back, because otherwise, why have a flaming sword? Why not just have lock the gate? I mean, like, it seems that the sword is there to sort of, like, make him not want to come back, because it's implying that he would want to come back. Because why would he want to soil the soil? He'd want to come back to the garden.
Test him again.
Yeah, guard the way of the tree of life.
No. And God couldn't have made a sufficiently strong padlock, you know, because in that technology to make a padlock for the Garden of Eden.
But a padlock is not scary. He would go up to the padlock and start pounding and not want to put
it.
What?
The main purpose is that toward the supplement was taken, right? You have to say somehow what was there before,
there's
need to work on that in order to...
Work on what?
What?
On what?
On the ground.
I guess working on the soil means working on the leaf that he was supposed to work on there. He's already there. That's what he has to work even more now.
Maybe, why does God have to kick him out? Not have any
questions. Because there's nothing to work on.
What? There was plenty to work on. At the beginning of the second parrot of braces, it said, now you have to kill the Eden, God put man in the Garden of Eden, well, the Lishra Rock.
You have only one
mitzvah. How do you know that?
Because
it's
the
Yeah.
I think God was scared of the fact that man took a different era.
God what?
God was scared of the fact.
Scared?
Yeah, scared. Not scared as we know scared, but like, man took a different era. God had a special thought for man to use knowledge and pursue spiritual growth, and man suddenly had a new era himself that he was just going to go for self-gratification. And only go for that and
how is God preventing man from going after self-gratification by kicking him out this way?
Because if he lives forever in that sense there, then he's just going to waste his time going after self-gratification instead of spending his time more, in a better sense, in spiritual growth, in what God really wanted.
What do most human beings do today when their lifespans are limited?
Yeah, they do self-gratification.
Right, they do self-gratification. So what are we gaining by limiting their lifespan? If
they think about the grave, they'll try to make spiritual growth, so they don't burn.
How many of them do that exactly?
Yeah, that's not...
That's my last fault.
Yeah, that's
our fault.
That intention probably was that with this short span of life, you would have a higher... year of God and try to go
for it. Okay, but that's good. I accept that, but... The thing is, it doesn't necessarily explain the first part of the concept, which is that what does it mean? So you're saying that the reason why he has to not be immortal is in order that he should focus on transcendent goals, like the article commentary says, and therefore he has to be prevented, and God has to prevent him from eating from this tree. But again, there's two questions which you're not answering, as well as questions: why couldn't God just kill the tree? Right? Why didn't God just kill the tree? And besides that, what does that do with the fact that now he's like us to know good and bad? Yeah.
It's not the Garden of Eden, everything was basically in front of him. It was placed before him in his hands, and the angels placed the food before him, the food was prepared for him, everything was done for him. And once he went out of Garden of Eden, he was independent. He had his own independence. He had to survive for himself. Now, if he would have taken away the Tree of Life, it would have made the Garden of Eden less, I don't know whether this is right, less important, let's say, than the outside, than what it was. What made the Garden of Eden the Garden of Eden, presumably, was the fact that it had the Tree of Knowledge and the Tree of Life. Now, if he was sent out of there, and if he was sent out of there, the Garden of Eden wouldn't have been anything special, so if he would have taken the Tree of Life away, the Garden of Eden would have just been exactly the same as outside. So it's obviously to send him out, is to show him what he's missed out on.
Well, and so you say it doesn't make a difference what his face here goes out?
No, I'm saying it does make a difference. He's going to make him realise what he's missed out on by being sent out.
So it's going to make him upset. Yeah. Can we go back?
You're saying the Garden of Eden, his perception of everything was true or false. There's no gray area. He had to be banished because he had to be presented with a greatness, his ability to discern and understand the world and become close to God. Outside,
yeah.
It wasn't necessarily true or false.
But that's all it says here. It says God sent him out because he was the greatest going to take care of, like he said, because he's afraid, so to speak, that he's going to take from the angel honey. He was afraid.
Yeah. Can you see that what you were saying before, that the reason why, for instance, women have less sports today is because God wanted us to get out of the garden and have to toil the field, because if we're distracted, then we won't fulfill our personal desires as much, because we're too busy working. But if we stayed in the garden, then we wouldn't have to do anything, and we'd just be sitting all day. And so if we were immortal as well, then we'd be sitting forever. Whereas if we had mortal life in the Garden of Eden, we'd just be sitting our whole life and never grow, and then just die and have to be punished. Like, but if we go out, at least we're distracted. This is very sinister view, but like when we go out, at least we're distracted for at least half a day or so, and then so we're not sinning as much throughout our whole life, and then we die. And
so if this man is not able of building his soul out of enjoyment and indulgence, he has to be sent out in order to build his soul through suffering and toil.
Right.
What?
Consequences of disobedience.
What is consequences?
Disobedience. You disobey, you become more
great. But that's what he says. How do you learn the purpose? No, read me the purpose of faith. Read me the purpose.
23? 22. Man became like one of us, doing good and bad.
Who's the one of us?
Question.
The angels.
Now they're one of us, are the angels, yeah.
Ah.
So God and man become like us, we do good and bad.
I didn't give an answer to that.
Oh, because if you make the right choices, you haven't earned it, though.
No, read me the process. Read me the way you're saying about the greatest.
And
Joe, man, and him, unique and one among us, and good and bad, and now he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, and live forever.
Where's the greatest business? He's afraid. Now he's not there, then,
ain't how we understand the whole thing to be.
He's not, that's not silly why he's getting out of Ghanaian. Hang on, so he doesn't eat. I'm saying these things to be great. Don't say that here.
If he has a discerning sword, the reason why is because it says here, behold, man has become like one of us. So because he's eaten from the tree of good and bad, he's become like one of us, he's become like one of the angels. And if he eats from the tree of life, man has a different purpose in life than the angels. And if he eats from the tree of life, he's gonna end up being the same as an angel.
Okay, interesting point. But you know, on the other hand, maybe. But the problem I have with that is that, if anything, I could assume that eating from the eighth of God makes man less than an angel than he was before. It's a difficulty I have with this process as well. He's saying, well, now man is like us. What do you mean now man is like us? Before he was good, now he's bad. Right? So before he was angelic, now he's human.
No, but that has the power. I think, isn't it saying the unique one being Hakadosh Baruch Hu among us? Hakadosh Baruch Hu is like that, but he knows good and evil. Yet he's able to control it and know what purpose it is. Man is never going to be able to control it. And now he's got this extra power that he's not able to control. He's going to waste his time and put it somewhere where he can, at least doesn't have to use his brain as much as something else.
So he's saying he became like God, now he's going to go to the angels.
Yeah, I'm thinking of saying there's a unique one among us. So like God's got the power to put in that, but man can't comprehend it and doesn't understand this new unique power. Mm-hmm. He's just gonna like run and waste his time with God, maybe.
Man doesn't
have to do so. If that's the case, why is God saying this? Who is he saying this? What's he saying? Now, we're assuming that when God says something, you know, there's a reason why he's saying it.
Well, he's talking about himself in the third person.
He's saying it for us.
He's saying this for you?
Yeah, he put it in the Torah. The Torah is for us.
That behold, that is
why?
The Torah is
for us. God's talking
about
himself
what?
In the third person.
That's fine.
He talks
about himself.
Oh, but have you
seen
him?
Why is God to talk to himself?
So that we
can
read. So we can learn that. We don't have the power to know why bad things are good. We don't have the power to use evil for the good purpose of the universe, whereas God does.
And so he wants to teach us a lesson. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
He said
so much already.
Even though he sinned, there's still the potential to achieve eternal life. And the reason he quit away from Gan Eden is that he wants him to reach that point of eternity, but not by maybe just taking the tree of life because that's too easy. That you'd be able to really see what's good and bad. But now he has to reach that eternity, but through a longer process, so that he will feel that he earns it, and not just by eating at it. He has to earn it and then achieve eternity. The point is, the 200 is to let him there because he will just take it without earning it. And that's not purpose of life. You become just like an angel. There's no purpose of life.
Why don't you just tell him that he makes man?
Well, he said that later on.
Yeah, but like, here's the one guy. Oh, it's just one guy. Why don't just flop? Oh, that was bad. I gotta make it a little bit different. That's why we won't do that.
There's one thing to say.
We didn't
talk
about it.
Yeah. There's one thing to say. Okay, the audience was on this. Okay, so we call it say that he has to have some kind because he has to have some goal to get back to. Basically, right? Yeah.
I believe that definitely the way we are right now, the way I can intend the first place, actually, I don't know how correct I am, but I am sure that the way we are not, the way Hashem intended to be right now. So Hashem definitely cannot, if he's going to play with the rules of the game, put you in a situation like that, because that and that is the concept of free will. Therefore, Adam has to be banished from the other definitely, because he knows he will not achieve his potential.
That's not free will.
Yeah,
really
I don't believe in God.
Yeah, so he
doesn't have free will. Therefore, Hashem could not banish him just like that, but he was working on the other made the mistake. He made the mistake, he had the reason to do it. So the things that we commit, of course, Hashem knows about them, but we cannot be punished unless we do them. So Hashem is like waiting for the opportunity to do what he needs to do.
So he was looking for an excuse and was waiting for the right time to...
Okay, the excuse...
The plan was to kick him out of that age to begin with, right?
I don't know if the plan, but the best thing to do was let me do that, because if not, it would not have happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as you say, but which is probably true, that obviously man, Hashem designed from the beginning that man would be kicked out of an age, and he knew that was going to happen. But then, you know... Still, the puzzle was a little bit difficult. Why did the puzzle say, well, now he became like one of us?
Again,
right?
I was waiting until he became one of us. Exactly that. I was waiting until he became one of us. He exercised his free will.
So why follow the Ace of Hines? Why did he say, so just say, okay, hey, I'm going to be okay. How do you make him now,
please?
Yes. Why did he say? Because and why did he make him from the Ace of Hines?
Because man has to choose that for himself.
What? If it was the Ace of Hines, if it would have been
the why need the end of the
verse?
Why can't, according to what you're saying, why can't you just say, hey, Adam, I'll call you up to call now that's over. Wrong! Period! I ask the Chayyu Hashem Elohim Egan Eden. That the whole man has become like you and Nico and Malach, knowing good and bad. Period! So Hashem got banished him from the Garden of Eden.
If he ate from the Eighth
Chaim,
if he would have ate from the Eighth Chaim, then he would have been, so to speak, like God. He would have been living forever, in which case he might have taken control over the planet. He might have taken over control over... No, we were supposed to take control over... We were meant to take control over the animals and the ones that didn't eat from the
tree.
No,
he could not take control. No way he could possibly have taken control.
No, what I'm saying is people might look at him because he lives forever and because he knows good and bad.
Well, people
and people might... Okay, so the creations, might have looked him, might have looked at Adam as being a godly light.
They don't know each other.
Oh, sure.
Obviously, there's one fundamental concept we have to lay down. One simple one, which is that there is no chat. There's no simple understanding of each of the verses, okay? We can all agree on that?
Yeah.
There's no way that Yeruchel, the Mir Mashiach, said, in all of my separations, in all of the first two verses there, there's no simple meaning. You can't say, well, this is what the verses means in other stuff. Especially because, like this, it's gibberish. You can just read it as it is, right? It's impossible to understand. Of course, you know, we've heard it a year, at least I'm speaking for myself, heard it year after year and haven't paid attention to it, but that's how we haven't paid attention to it, we would have realized, you know, it's impossible to understand what's going on here. I think. Okay? So I don't necessarily have any answers to these questions which I'm posing to you. The fact that I don't have any answers doesn't mean that there isn't an answer. So we'll see what the Malvin says.
There's a finding source and clear to be the sun to the south to the east. And that's why the sun's always there. Or it's just literally on the east gate, there's a giant sword that's been
on. It's a mushroom.
We don't know. But it's certainly not the sun. Not that the cool science fiction, book, I mean, so there's got to be behind the sun, put back the sun and back there, but that's not the way it works.
Rashi says that the ever-turning swords are angels.
No, the Kruven ring.
The Kruven, yeah, sorry.
Canon has a certain flaming sword.
Double weapon.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones' best top.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, the Kruven's favorite. So the Mountain says in this verse, he says, if man had not eaten from the ancient God from the tree of knowledge, they would have had two separate parts. He would have remained, one part would have been his divine soul, and the other part would have been his physical body. As you said, that he said those rabbis contend that before man's sin, they weren't combined into one big glob, right? Where everything impacted and everything else. There were two things which were separate and distinct from each other within the individual. His bodily functions and physical nature, and his spiritual functions and his divine nature. And then it was possible, says the Malvin, where that case he could actually fly away from his body anytime he wanted. Like Moshe was able to do so, and Eliyahu Hanavi, right? Eliyahu Hanavi was able to go up to Shemayim, you know, whenever he wanted to take off his body and go, right?
The Baal Shem
Tov, right? The Baal Shem Tov, right? So the Baal Shem Tov here. And now as ever, after the sin, man lost the capacity. Now body and soul are entwined together. And he was, when the Baal was learning, Heino Adam Oyav Ke'echod, he became like one, Menu from his two portions. Meaning from his two parts, which was used to be separate, he's now become merged. Not that he's like one of us, but rather, he had two parts before, and from that, they've now become one. He no longer can separate body and soul, they're all mixed together. Okay? And he tries to prove this from a grammatical viewpoint, we'll skip that part. So, not only did they become like one part, but it became like the more physical part because he became one through the eating of the tree, which you're not supposed to do. So it's no longer possible for him to separate his spiritual self from his physical body because he has the inclination to go not just after good, but to go after bad. But that's overrock. So good and bad. So therefore the soul is imprisoned in the prison of his physical nature. And therefore there is no hope, for the soul to come back to its spiritual completion unless there is death to sever the body from the soul. So therefore, Hashem says, I better not let him eat from the Eitz HaChaim, right? Because then the soul will not be able to slip from the body. Now the Malvin, even the Malvin, who tries to give this revolutionary new idea, so to speak, about Achat Mimenu, meaning from his two parts, Mimenu, so those two parts, Achat, it became one. He also doesn't explain to all my satisfaction, at least, the end of the verse where God is afraid that he's going to eat from the Eitz HaChaim. But I have to say something along those lines, but we've said it several times already, which is that if God made the rules of creation, he has to abide by them. And therefore, you know, if actually man were eating from the Eitz HaChaim, so he's going to come to God and say, pay up, you know, it's too tough on you. Shouldn't have made such a tree. Now you made a treasure tree, you're obligated to play by the rules. So therefore, in this case, Hashem was actually depriving him of free will. You say, I can't let him exercise his free will and get to the tree. But if he gets to the tree, that's the way I created the world. It can't be, because then he'll have to live forever. Right? That's very similar to what we said a few weeks ago at the end of Parshas Noah, where God had to head the people who are making the Tower of Babel out off of the path. He's got to stop them from doing it, because if they get far enough, then it can be successful whenever they do it. That's why God also has to stop, we mentioned, Bilam from cursing the Jews, right? If the Bilam does curse the Jews, then God's got to abide by the rules. So therefore, all these places, since God made the rules in a way which binds him, commits him, I guess is a better word, commits him to keep them, so therefore, God has to take a step and try and avoid that situation coming about. Why? And they just came, but you see that all over here.
Why would he allow that instance to even occur, though, if he knows that the outcome is going to be that he has to abide by the rules and he has to intercept it before? Like, why throw the pass? Like, why allow him to throw the pass to begin with? He knows he's going to have to try to intercept the pass.
That was why you make Nesha Chaim?
Yeah, why did he make it individual? Why did he allow Philip to even start the process to do that and allow them to start building the Tower of Babel? He knows he's going to have to intervene anyway.
Because the Hashem is Erech HaPayim. Hashem is patient. He tries to see if people do tshuva on their own before intervening. He's had to only intervene since axiomatic that God only intervenes at the last possible moment.
So why did he create the potential to have that power?
Which power?
Either one, like Tower of Babel, whatever they were trying to do.
Why did he make the universe in a way that power exists to be able to do it? If he doesn't want it to have ever be done, and he's going to stop it.
God has to be with us. Unity is a wonderful thing when done the right way. But they were abusing unity.
So they were abusing the power.
Yeah.
So he had to make the power be able to do that in order to be able to do what we need it to do the right way.
That's right. Well, I made a mistake, but I am assuring. When I understand that about Hashem abiding by the law, I don't think that he destroyed the Tower of Babel of many spells or whatever it is, just like that. I think there must have been something which the people make the Tower of Babel do. They made a mistake. They are free will. And that was the reason why Hashem was entitled in such a way to disperse them. Because he's not abiding by the rules. I am sure that in every case...
But what rules does God can make everybody be dispersed?
He doesn't intervene there.
He wasn't allowed to eat from the tree of knowledge. But he couldn't eat from the tree of life.
God just didn't want
him. Now God is preventing him from doing it.
Well, I get the feeling that the disobedience of that room is
it's on a higher level. Then they will become unresident and disobey all rules. It's a fundamental rule. That's how we can make our concern. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, but so I'm not sure I fully understand. I was about to say it again.
There are some rules that you can't break, and you don't have the it's not a thing to do with the sure before. If you had such a fundamental rule that you didn't want a God, a chimp didn't want to break his girlfriend. And so he had to punish them in a way they couldn't do it anymore.
Okay.
So that's why you couldn't
interesting thing what you're saying. Let me pick up on it because I start to be thinking along these lines. Which is that, actually, why doesn't God say to man, just don't eat from the tree of knowledge? Right? Why does he say, you know what, you muffed up once, don't muff up again?
That's going to happen.
Why doesn't he try?
You're not eating from the tree of life.
What? Not eating from the tree of life, yeah.
Can you just make a new rule?
Yeah, why follow
after the last rule?
What?
Follow after the last rule.
He's learning from
it. Because if he knows,
because he shall surely die. And how can he surely die? Is he going to eat from the tree of life?
He's contradicting himself.
Well,
I
don't
know about the rules that they don't change. Because again, the rules that I said at the beginning, they do not change as they change.
No, you can't.
No, but why can you say
something that he's... Because there's 13 mitzvahs later on, the rules have to change.
He's already said to them, you can't eat because now you're sure surely die.
Yeah.
And if he's going to eat from the tree of life, then they're going to live forever, so it's obviously going to be...
That's a contradiction of God.
You can't do this, he's not going to do something like that.
God wouldn't make the universe a possibility to contradict himself, otherwise he's not God, because you have to be perfect, you can't contradict himself.
True.
But also
so therefore he can't allow man to get to the tree of life, and it cannot happen, and it will not happen, because if he did, he would live forever, but he said, if he is in the truth of knowledge, then he should die. So how can he die and live forever at the same time?
And he can't eliminate the tree of life because?
In the Torah it's written that he
made the rule that it should exist.
In the fourth day of the world.
What?
Because God made the universe in such a way that the tree of life does exist.
Ah! And why does that exist though?
Because that's the way God wanted the universe.
No.
It went down.
I'll tell you what I think the tree of life has to exist, okay? This is my theory. The modern modernity doesn't favor. Right? The tree of life is called the Eitz HaChaim. Right? What else is called the Eitz HaChaim?
Torah.
Right? The eighth chaim of the tree of life is linked to the eighth chaim of the third. Mm. Moreover, it what sat on top of the Aron Kodesh in the Mishkan?
Kruvin.
What guards the way here?
Kruvin.
You see the parable?
No. There's no flaming sword.
That's fine. You have to deal with the flaming sword issue. In the meantime, the eighth chaim. One second. Physical Eitz HaChaim is guarded by Kruvin, and also the spiritual Eitz HaChaim is guarded by Kruvin.
Okay?
So far I haven't explained, I'm just giving you an approach. Yes.
You're
having much too much fun.
The Ner HaTamid is the flaming salt, the ever flaming sword.
Well, the Ner HaTamid and the Beis HaMikdash, okay. Okay, that's the point.
What about the flame that killed Aaron Sun? That when they got too close and they weren't supposed to...
Okay, but that wasn't inherent in the temple.
You can carry it a little further. Could be. You can say the Torah was the name of the Haim. And therefore, man can't make those rules. They were the rules of the Torah, known to be made by Hashem.
Right, but the point is more that you can't destroy the Eitz HaChaim. In other words, God could if he wanted to. But since the Torah is, the Torah and Eitz HaChaim are connected somehow, so therefore, to destroy the Eitz HaChaim is not an option. That would undermine the totality of creation. That would be like destroying the world starting over again.
Yeah.
The Yetzer Chaim must exist. Why? Somehow the Yetzer Chaim is related to Torah. How? Let's try to explain it. But not today. Let's see what the Rambam says on the next verse.
Is it possible that the Yetzer Chaim is actually like, if you're confident...
Stop eating it, find out.
No, because if... Like, we're always saying, like, Torah is a true path and all of this, and if you get to such a high level, you get to such a high degree, you can surpass the physical world, that maybe it's in the purest form that the Yetzer Chaim in the Garden of Eden was not living eternally, but it was understanding the whole of complete Torah, which gives you
that... It's a fascinating idea. I like that very much.
What
is it again? But he says like this. He said... I'm paraphrasing. What he meant to say is that where Adam said even from the Yetzer Chaim, he would never ever have to eat again. He wouldn't have to eat. That was the last thing he would have had to eat. Because the Yetzer Chaim would grant it in and of itself eternal life. You eat that fruit, then nothing else is necessary. Right? That's it. You live forever on the basis of that one apple. So therefore, it is essential that man doesn't eat from the Yetzer Chaim, because if he does, every day, all human history, everything which should occur in the course of L'avodas Adam, the next process, is never going to happen. Right? How the Yetzer Chaim has this capacity? Because it is the physical crystallization of what Torah is all about. So that's what you say, right?
Very good.
What? You can eat it piece by piece, but not all at once.
I know in design of something, whether it's a basic sort of stylistic, and they build around the design, no matter what you do, you can't get rid of the basic stylistic. And they get rid of the basic stylistic, you can't live with it.
Right. So we can't ask, especially because the curse, the whole point of the curse was, the day of that was a lesson, you're going to eat by the sweat of your brow, right? You got to eat, right? All of a sudden, man would eat from the tree of life. He would not eat anymore, right? So the whole plan which God had just devised, and if he was stricken, it would not have come to fruition. So therefore, God prevented from eating from the Yetzer Chaim in order that this shouldn't happen. But God is even going to give an alternative, not necessarily to others. The alternative of achieving eternal life is by turning. Okay, but we haven't gotten that far yet. Let's just do the next part for today. So we're going to the Malbim. So the Malbim said, when he sent them out of the Garden of Eden, when God, Adam left the Garden of Eden, there are many highways through which he could travel. He could have sailed a bunch of rivers, there are four rivers going to the Garden of Eden, right, could have taken any pathways. And it says, so the Malbim said, three of those rivers were bad. The Gihon, the Pishon, and the,
what was the third river?
But the fourth one was Prut, Euphrates, and that was the best. So he says, what God sent them to do, I don't know the Malbim knows this, but the Malbim said, when God sent them out, he sent them through the Euphrates River to Eretz Yisrael. Remember we said that Gan Eden was in Pakistan, right? India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, somewhere in that area, right?
Same place to put it.
Right, but now, God is sending him out of the garden. Even it says, you know, go sail your boat down the Euphrates, you know, the river, like the Euphrates that they empties into the, Gulf of, what's it called? The Persian Gulf. Does it? Or is it entered into the Mediterranean? I don't remember. What? I don't know. But anyway, so he sends him down there, Eretz Yisrael. Because, like, he says, the Chazal say that man was created from the dirt which is on Mount Moriah, where the Mizbeach was made, right? And God sent him back there to get his atonement over there. So God sent him over. First, man was created the way he puts it in Eretz Yisrael. So it was then taken into Gan Eden, right? Then he was kicked out of Gan Eden and sent back to Eretz Yisrael, right? So Gan Eden is now on his east, right? So it says the next pasuk that he kicked them out, right? Then the descendants there to 12. So by Hashem we kept him with Gan Eden. He put on the kept. I don't know if that is going to work out the next pasuk. But Gan Eden is on in the east. And Adam is on the west, now he's in Eretz Yisrael. And now he has to live according to the life which Hashem planned for him in this world, okay? So that, we obviously have to see the next part of how that deals with the directions and the Kruvin. We'll leave that for tomorrow because it's later already. Okay, so tomorrow I think we're going to finish this, and then we're going to go on to Kayim.